أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين استكبارا في الأرض ومكر السيء ولا يحيق المكر السيء إلا بأهله فهل ينظرون إلا سنة الأولين فلن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا ولن تجد لسنة الله تحويلا أولم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم وكانوا أشد منهم قوة وما كان الله ليعجزه من شيء في السماوات ولا في الأرض إنه كان عليما قديرا ان آیات کا ترجمہ ہے کہ زمین میں تکبر.
Azur says that the translation of these verses is that they intended to be arrogant and plot evil in the earth. But the evil plot encompasses none but the authors themselves. Thus, do they not then look for anything but God's way of dealing with the peoples of old? But thou will never find any change in the way of Allah, nor will thou ever find any alteration in the way of Allah. Have they not travelled in the earth and seen how evil was the end of those who were before them? Although they were stronger than those in power, and Allah is not such that anything in the heavens or the earth should frustrate His plans. Verily, He is all-knowing and all-powerful. If the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, was sent by Allah, and if we have firm faith and belief in this, that certainly He was ordained by God Almighty. Because at every single moment, we witness God's help and succor for Him. We observed that God's promises that He made to the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, were fulfilled. Our faith and our belief is strengthened because of the manner in which Allah the Almighty treated the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him. In fact, even after He passed away, we see that whatever He was informed by Allah and whatever He then imparted to His Jamaat or community, we see that those things are also being fulfilled. Thus, because of His ardent affection that He held for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon Him, and in order to perpetuate and extend His mission, Allah the Almighty granted the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, the rank of prophethood. However, this was a type of prophethood which was without any law, and this was a subordinate prophethood. And this is the highest point of being a follower of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Allah the Almighty has only granted this status to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that one who is your follower, because of his intense love for you and because of his complete submission and servitude to you, has attained the honor of prophethood. But it is saddening that Muslims opposed to us and the Muslims of other sects, because of the ulama or the clergy who wrongly explain this rank of prophethood. Whenever and wherever the opportunity arises against Ahmadis, they do not only raise their voices, rather they harm and injure them to whatever extent they possibly can. And in this opposition, they often surpass all limits. Nonetheless, when Jamaats or communities progress and when they grow, then the enemy, witnessing this advancement and progresses, where they openly oppose it using its strength, and also using such supports that they perceive are extremely powerful and mighty, so using this they try to hinder the progress of such communities in every single possible manner. At times, what also happens is that from right within, using different techniques, those who are weak, or those who are less educated, or those who have fragile minds, who are nearing the age of maturity, or who have just entered into adulthood, they try very cunningly to trap such people in their web of great deception, in an attempt to remove them far from the truth. This is why every Ahmadi should, first of all, endeavor to increase his religious knowledge. He should be aware that who am I, what am I, and why am I this, so that he can respond to such covert and hidden enemies. Secondly, and most of all, is that in order to safeguard one's faith, help should be implored from Almighty Allah, because without His grace and blessings, nothing and no task can be achieved. To strengthen our faith, to be protected from every kind of crookedness, Allah the Almighty has taught us the prayer that رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ. That, O our Lord, let not our hearts become perverse after Thou hast guided us, and bestow on us mercy from Thyself, surely Thou art the bestower. Thus, the safeguarding of one's faith is achieved through the mercy of God. Hence, a humble person is always in search of the help of Almighty Allah. And he should always remain in search of this. Some people even write letters to me at times that if we do not call the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, a prophet, or we do not express this, that he was a prophet before others, then what is the harm? This is nothing new. From the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, itself, people would make such statements, arguing that the opposition would lessen as a result of doing this. Hence, they would say that if this word is not utilized, then what is the harm? The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in one place regarding this, that those matters that are divine, one should not fear asserting them. One should not be fearful mentioning whatever Allah the Almighty has said or stated. Nobody should be fearful of saying what Allah the Almighty has said. To hold any fear at all in this regard is not the practice of a truthful person. Observe the mannerism of the noble companions. They went to the courts of the kings and would plainly and explicitly express whatever they believed in. They did not hesitate at all in conveying the truth. This is why they were true to the verse La yakhafuna lawmata la'im, that they will not fear the reproach of a fault finder. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that it is our claim that we are a Nabi and a Rasul, a prophet and a messenger. He says that one who Allah the Almighty communicates and addresses in this manner, that is of a much higher level and state, more than others, and which includes an abundance of prophecies, he is called a Nabi or a prophet. And this definition is truly applicable to ourselves. Thus, we are a Nabi or a prophet. Indeed, this prophethood is not a law-bearing prophethood, one that abrogates the book of Allah. This is not a law-bearing prophethood which abrogates the book of Allah. This is not a new law that nullifies the book of Allah. And nor was any new book brought. Such a claim is considered disbelief by us. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that if we are not called a Nabi, a prophet, then which other term is there for this that can be used to distinguish from others who receive revelation? Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that others do also receive revelations. However, when revelations are received in great abundance, when Allah the Almighty communicates with great intensity, this entails the rank of prophethood. And he said that in this context of this definition, I am a prophet. Otherwise, others also receive revelations. Hazur says that therefore this is a clear and vivid proclamation of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and this is precisely in accordance with the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that the promised Messiah is going to be a prophet. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that between me and the promised Messiah, there is no prophet. Thus, when you have believed in the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, it becomes mandatory that you accept him as a Nabi, as a prophet. In terms of opposition that is faced, this always exists against divine jamaats, and this will continuously be present. Indeed, this is the sign of divine communities, that they are opposed. Despot kings and their followers stand up against them. However, the divinely established jamaat or community, it continues progressing. In the end, such a time arrives when all these other troops or followers are completely finished. All such powers are annihilated. And ultimately, the decree of Allah reigns supreme. That كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, that Allah has decreed that most surely I will prevail, I and my messengers. All those who had schemes against Allah's messengers, they will become entrapped in the web of their own deception. Those who assume that our troops and our followers and the protection of our worldly masters will lead to success in the intrigues against the Prophet and his Jamaat, So they are mistaken in this view. The ultimate triumph is surely always with divinely commissioned communities.
سازشوں اور جھوٹی اسکیمیں بنانے میں چاہے جتنے بھی
However shrewd and cunning they might be in forming schemes and false intrigues, they cannot compete with the design of Almighty Allah. Allah has reassured the believers also, saying that this is a fundamental decree and also a fundamental act of the Lord. That وَلَا يُحِيكُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّعُ إِلَّا بِأَحْلِهِ That but the evil plot encompasses none but the authors themselves. In other words, only they themselves become encompassed by it. Indeed, according to God's other law, phases and periods of sacrifices run. However, the final victory is always attained by the people of God. It is always won by the Prophet and his community. And his enemy always meet their punishment. This is the Sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah. And the way of Allah never ever changes. This utterly unchangeable way of Allah is such that demonstrated the sorry end of the enemies in the past also, and today as well is displaying their bad end and will always continue to show their bad end. The major illustration of this Allah the Almighty will demonstrate in His own time, as is mentioned in the second verse of the Quran that I recited. However, for the sake of strengthening the faith of believers, at various times Allah the Almighty displays smaller examples of how the intrigues, efforts and plots against the truth come to nothing, and this is what Allah the Almighty demonstrates. Recently, in Indonesia, the barbaric act perpetrated by the followers of the so-called mullahs, in which the mullahs were involved themselves. So after this, the mullah became so much emboldened and more confident that the mullahs of other vicinities also said that why should we be left behind? Hence they announced that on the 1st of March they would hold a large procession in Jakarta and that hundreds of thousands of people would take part in this. Moreover, they made considerable preparations for this procession, and the demand out of this was, or they said that our demand in this procession will be, that Ahmadi should be banned outright. They should refrain from calling themselves Muslims. Or if they want to call themselves Muslims, then they should join us. Otherwise, they said that we will maintain this procession and protest to that point when either the government decides in our favor or until we do not remove the president of the nation from his office and from his presidential palace. And in terms of the sheer size of the plan that was being concocted, Jamaat Ahmadiyya Indonesia were concerned and they thought that this opposition protest being carried out and their plan for a procession and the extremist nature coming out of it, that would be quite significant. However, Allah the Almighty provided such means that only a small and insignificant procession took place and was carried out. And even that finished well before the scheduled time. A few days before this procession, an intrigue Allah the Almighty had put it into the hearts of the government-supported Maulvis that we should hold a jalsa or a convention. So subsequently, a very large jalsa was held in which the president of the country himself attended. And this is the way how Allah the Almighty provided the means to annul their schemes. Nonetheless, neither the government-supported Maulvis nor the Maulvis in opposition to us are our friends or well-wishers. However, at times Allah the Almighty makes such arrangements that the opponents clash with one another. So because of this convention that took place earlier, Allah had provided the foundation for the later extremist procession to be a failure. Anyhow, we are also grateful to the government that since then, generally speaking, the attitude of most of the leaders, apart from just a few exceptions, has been improved in favor of us. Here I should also mention something that just like after the Lahore martyrdoms, in certain areas of Africa, Allah the Almighty demonstrated examples of sincerity and loyalty of various members of the Jamaat, and in which there were also beds where people pledged allegiance as well. Similarly, the events in Indonesia has led to the path of truth of the Jamaat opening up, and pious-natured people have been given the opportunity to identify the truth. From an area in Africa, a Murabbi Sahib wrote that on the internet, I saw the incident in Indonesia, and I became extremely distressed. It was a very emotional disposition. I was crying watching this video. He writes that on that very same day, coincidentally in the evening, some non-Ahmadi guests, dignitaries, and also members of the ulama, the clergy, there was a tablighi sitting or a sitting for preaching that was on that day. So he says, on the television, with regard to all the beastly scenes that occurred, I played a recording of it. And he said that I said to the guest that first watch this, then we shall begin our discussion. And he also explained the details surrounding it, that this is what is happening with Ahmadis. So the Murabbi Sahib writes that when I played the recording, that not a minute had yet passed of it, when a malim, Hazur says the clergy or the Maulvi or the Imam there, they are called Malim in Africa. So the writer says that that person stood up and he put his hand on his head and he started crying uncontrollably. And he said, are these Muslims who are displaying this barbarism and cruelty? Are these the people who are doing all of this in the name of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? So this Malim said, I completely renounce this type of Islam, of such Muslims. And I announce that from today I am an Ahmadi. And that my bayat, pledge of allegiance, should be taken immediately. So Hazur says the combined bayat was going to be taken place afterwards in a group. However, even before that, Allah the Almighty, seeing his actions, enabled an important imam to take the bayat, the oath of allegiance. So this imam also said that I pledge this also, that in reprisal to the three martyrdoms, inshallah, God enabling, I will bring three villages into the fold of Ahmadiyya, the true Islam. May Allah the Almighty enable him to achieve this. So if the enemy desires to plot in secret, if it uses apparent affection in their schemes, or if they oppose openly, to try and make the followers of this Prophet become terrified, or if to try and make them turn back in any way. However, leaving aside the believers of strong faith who do not fear,
Foreign Kholkar
Moreover, such people's conspiracies immediately opens the hearts of the righteous people and blows such an intense wind in our favor that the work our missionaries could not accomplish in 1 year, it is achieved in just a moment as a result of the enemy's conspiracies. Therefore, who can stop the work of Allah? But these arrogant people will never understand that Allah the Almighty says that He never changes His Sunnah, that He never changes His way. So the decree of Allah the Almighty's way is that of triumph. And secondly, the way of Allah is that such wrongdoers will be destroyed. Thus, this is a warning from God Himself that if earlier people faced a sorry end due to their opposition, then today the same God exists. The same God promises, who is the master of all powers, Allah the Almighty says, that have you not traveled the land? Have you not seen? أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَانُوا أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. That why do you not assess the history of nations? What does their destruction teach you? Nowadays, on television programs, in magazines, just sitting in one's homes, one can see this earlier destruction. That how many nations have passed that due to various disasters, they were buried. Entire habitations were eaten up in the ground. In fact, even in this era, we observe that when earthquakes occur, then many townships are completely buried. So therefore, for those who want to learn a lesson, this is a great lesson for them to learn. By mentioning this in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has already enjoined the Muslims to do things sensibly. That do things sensibly. Do not act in such a way that history repeats itself on you. But alas, that despite this warning, Muslims have forgotten this dreadful warning. God Almighty states that every person who is extremely arrogant, every person who has confidence in his schemes, and who is intoxicated in the conceit of his power, Allah the Almighty says that this arrogance, it will be of no use to you. Allah says, وَكَانُوا أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً, that those in the past were very powerful. First of all, they were more powerful than the current governments. Secondly, in comparison to those prophets, they were much more powerful and stronger. But in worldly terms, the prophets have no standing. But when Allah's decree is set into motion, when He makes a decision, that is, a decision to destroy a particular nation, then they were all annihilated. Allah the Almighty, by safeguarding this Sunnah, this way of His in the Holy Quran, informs us that the Pharaoh-like and powerful people in every area, and also their followers, they have been told that first of all, your power is nothing compared to the might and power of God. Secondly, the declaration of Allah of helping the people of God, despite their apparent weakness, He makes those weak people powerful. Because the power of Allah is behind them. And a time comes when those who are considered powerful become a part of history. They are completely annihilated. Nobody knows where they were and where they went. Therefore, those who oppose the people of God should come into their senses. And they should realize the reality that opposing those who have been sent from God is to oppose God Himself. And Allah the Almighty is He, as He says Himself, that وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Allah is not such that anything in the heavens or the earth should frustrate His plans. Thus, a foolish nation assumes or the people of certain areas and countries believe that we are powerful, that we can subjugate these insignificant people who are small in numbers. If you look at this from a worldly perspective, then this is not foolishness. This is actually a very correct thought. Because the powerful and cunning, they do indeed attain dominance. And when we glance upon the current state of affairs in the world, then nowadays also it is the powerful and cunning who rule the world and who are leading the world. And those who are so-called believers, they are in their hold. But here, the contest is not between the people of the world. When the question arises pertaining to Jamaat Ahmadiyya, when the question arises regarding the followers of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, then the contest becomes between people of the world and God's people. It becomes an opposition against a divine community. So therefore, worldly principles are not applicable here. In fact, they will be victorious here, whom Allah the Almighty supports and announces. That وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ, that Allah is not such that anybody can humble Him. Thus today, in this era, we have been provided with this good news. However, this also draws us towards a responsibility, that attach yourself in a true manner with that person of God and create a special bond with God. Strive to be a part of those people for whom Allah's sunnah, Allah's way, displays special signs in their favor. Endeavor to steer your worship, your prayers, and your actions on that path which have been identified to us by Allah the Almighty and His Messenger, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and which have been elucidated and explained before us by the Imam of the Age, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and the Imam Mahdi. If we truly grasp onto this principle, then whether it is the powerful in Pakistan or Indonesia, in Bangladesh, or in any other Arab country, or in any other country for that matter, then all these powerful and mighty people, they are nothing and are meaningless in comparison to God. And Allah the Almighty has decreed that the people of Allah always attain ultimate victory. Those who have the help and support of Allah with them, they will attain triumph. Thus, these opponents, they would be wise to realize the signs and decree of Allah, and they should strive to reform themselves. Otherwise, it is certain that Allah's decree will triumph. And at such a time, no excuse will work, that this was the reason or that was the reason. Then when the final decree of Allah sets into motion, everything is destroyed. I will present some extracts from the writings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He writes in one place that God will break the arrogance of the arrogant Maulvis, and He will show them how He helps the poor people and how He places the mischievous into the burning fire. A vicious person claims that I will attain victory through my conspiracies and intrigues, and I will eliminate the truth with my schemes. However, the might and power of Allah replies to him that, O mischievous person, who has taught you to concoct these intrigues in opposition to me and before me? Are you not that same insignificant drop in the womb? Do you have the right to evade my decree? Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that this always comes to pass, that those who are especially loyal and beloved of God, their loyalty reaches God to such a degree that the worldly blind cannot see it. This is why the religious leaders and figures, they stand in opposition against this person, but he is not competing with that person, rather he competes with God. How is it possible that the person God has raised for a glorious objective and through whom Allah wills that a major transformation takes place? How is it possible that for the sake of a few ignorant, cowardly, deficient and treacherous people that such a person will be destroyed? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that if two boats crash into one another, if two boats crash into each other in a river, then if in one of these boats is the king of the time, who is just, glorious, generous and noble, and he travels with his special people, and in the other boat there are such people sitting who are evil, immoral and ill-mannered, and the situation arises that only one boat can be saved and the other boat will be destroyed along with its passengers. So now tell me, which choice of action is better at this juncture? Will the boat of that king who is just be destroyed? Or will those people's boat be destroyed who are insignificant and immoral and who are disgraced? So I tell you in all honesty that the boat of the king will be saved with great assistance and intensity, and the boat of the wicked people will be exterminated, and they will be destroyed in utter humiliation, and there will be happiness in their destruction, because the world is in dire need of a just king, and his death is the death of the entire universe. If some insignificant and wicked people die, it cannot cause any disorder or change in the system of the world. Thus, this is the way of Allah, that when a group stands in opposition against his messengers, then although they believe and they say that we are righteous, but Allah the Almighty destroys them, and the time of their destruction arrives, because Allah does not desire that the purpose for which he has sent his messenger should go to waste. Because if he were to do this, then he would himself be the enemy of his own objective. Then who would worship him on the earth? People see a larger number and think that this group is very large and assume that they must be good, that because they are large, they must be right. And the foolish assume that these people gather in thousands and hundreds of thousands of mosques. Are these people bad? But God does not look at the quantity, he looks at the hearts. The select of God possess a special illumination of the love of the divine and sincerity and loyalty. If I could explain this, I would. But what shall I say? Since the world came into being, no messenger or prophet could explain this secret. The faithful and sincere of God, their spirit falls at the threshold of the Lord in such a manner that it is impossible for us to portray this state. Hazur says that thus the countless efforts of the opponents did not upset the progress of the promised Messiah alayhi salam to even the slightest degree. This is because their every evil plot was made to rebound on themselves by Allah the Almighty, and even until today we continue to witness this. So, as long as we remain strong in our faith, we will continue to observe the progress of the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty enable us to fulfill this. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in one place that this is the mistake of these people, and it is their complete misfortune that they desire my destruction. I am that true tree that the true Lord has planted with his own hands. That person who wishes to cut me, his end will only be that of Qarun. And Yahud Asqariuti and Abu Jahl, they will have a share from their wicked end. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that, O people, understand positively that that hand is with me which will be sincere to me until the very end. If your men and your women, if your young and your old, if your children and your elders, if they all collectively pray for my destruction, to the extent that they prostrate for so long that their nose begins to decay and their hands become numb. Even then, Allah will in no circumstances listen to your supplications until His decree does not come to pass. And if among mankind there is not even a single person with me, then God's angels will be with me. If you conceal the truth, if you conceal the testimony, then a time will soon come that stones will bear testimony for me. So therefore, do not be unfair to yourself. The faces of the liar are different than the faces of the truthful. Allah will not leave anything undecided. I curse that life that is based on falsehood and deceit. And upon that state where fearing the people, he tries to avoid the commands of God. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, O all people, listen, this is His prophecy who created the heavens and the earth. He will spread this Jamaat in every country. And on the basis of argument, He is going to give dominance to them over everyone else. Those days arrive, in fact it is near, when there will only be this one religion in the world, which will be known with respect and honor. Allah the Almighty will bless this dispensation extraordinarily, and everyone who thinks of destroying it will fail. And this dominance will remain forever, until doomsday arrives. If still you mock me, then what harm is there? Because there is no prophet who was not mocked. Therefore, it was essential that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would also be mocked, as Allah the Almighty states, that Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, ma ya'tihim min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. That alas for my servants, there comes not a messenger to them, but they mock at him. Thus, this is an indication from God that every prophet is mocked and ridiculed. But that person who descends from the heavens, and with who are also angels, who can mock him? Thus, based on this argument, wise people can comprehend that it is a false assumption that the promised Messiah will descend from the sky. Remember, no one will descend from the sky. All our opponents who are alive today, they will all die, and none of them will witness Jesus, son of Mary, descend from the sky. Then their surviving children will also die, and none among them will witness Jesus, son of Mary, descend from the sky. Then the children of their children will die, and they too will not witness the son of Mary descend from the sky. This is when God will make their hearts anxious, that the time of overcoming the cross has passed, the world has changed, but Mary's son, Jesus, has not yet descended. This is when the intellectuals will be weary of this creed. And 3 centuries from this day would not have been completed. And 3 centuries from this day would not have been completed when those who await Jesus, be it Muslims or Christians, badly disappointed and dismayed, will abandon this false creed. And there will only be one religion in the world and one leader. I simply came to sow the seed. Now the seed has been sown. It will flourish, it will blossom, and nobody can stop its progress. Hazur says, thus, we are seeing the truth of the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, right before us. We do see Allah's helping hand with him. Today, Allah, according to his promises, in Asian countries, in islands, in Europe and in America, in thriving areas of Africa, and even in far away desert habitations, even in far away desert dwellings, Allah the Almighty has spread Ahmadiyyat, and He has not only spread it spectacularly, but it is flourishing most gloriously, it is expanding and it is growing. Each sacrifice of every Ahmadi becomes the means of achieving new and fresh progress. Therefore, to partake of these blessings of Almighty Allah, to strengthen our faith, we need to pray more than ever before. The rapidity at which the state of the affairs in the world are changing, how the condition of the world is taking a turn. Inshallah, God willing, this will show spectacular scenes in favor of Jamaat Ahmadiyyat. Prayers are greatly required for this, and there is a need to keep an eye on your condition. So particularly, especially, give immense emphasis to prayer in these days. May Allah cover up our weaknesses, and may we not act in any such way that deprives us from witnessing this progress. At the end, there is a sad announcement. I will shortly lead the funeral prayers after the Friday prayers. And this is a respected Qari Mirzuki Sahib, who was the Imam of Morocco. It is his funeral prayers. He passed away in the last few days at the age of 75. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He took the bear, the Pledge of Allegiance, in 2002. And Amir Saab writes that our delegation used to go to him and we would hold many tablighi sittings with him. So he was an imam and a great scholar. Hazur says, I have met him as well. Anyhow, this person would find any way to wriggle out of this, because he was not ready to submit yet at that time, because he had the influence of the ulama, the clergy, upon him, the stubbornness they exhibit. So he writes that one day we were sitting in this tablighi sitting, and a general secretary said, to speak to him is akin to speaking to a stone, so leave him alone. So he writes that whilst leaving, I gave him the book Ijazul Masih. I gave it to him that you should read this. So then, after a few days, he returned and said, take my bed, oath of allegiance. And by the grace of Allah, he took the bed and he decided to join the Jamaat. So he was the only Ahmadi in his family. Before taking the bed, the oath of allegiance, in Strasbourg, France, he was a permanent member of the Aima committee, and he would also deliver sermons in the mosque. That is the mosque of the Muslims. They were full of praise for him. However, when people discovered that he was an Ahmadi, they all began opposition to him, at which point he himself left the imamate, that is the leadership of the mosque. Hazur says that I first met him in 2003 during the Jalsa Salana of France. When I went to France in the previous year, then at that time he was extremely weak. His illness had worsened a great deal. When I went to Strasbourg, he also came there. And he said to Amir Saab that you would always say that let's go to London to meet the Khalifa of the Messiah. But the doctor does not permit me to travel, and I also had some severe pains. But now look, how Allah has made arrangements that the Khalifa of the time has come to me himself. He had great love for Khilafat. He was writing the Quran by hand. When I went to Strasbourg, he told me on that occasion as well, that I am writing by hand. And when he finished it, Azur says his calligraphy or handwriting was very good. So he said that when I complete this, I would like to present it to you as a gift. At the time of his death as well, beside him was a Holy Quran and also the souvenir of the Khulafat Jubilee. He would frequently offer his house for the Amla meetings to be held. When a financial appeal was launched for the Strasbourg Mosque, then whatever he had, he contributed all of it towards this. May Allah extend forgiveness to him, and may he be given a lofty station in paradise. His children and the rest of his relatives, they are not Ahmadis. May Allah the Almighty open their hearts and enable them to also accept Ahmadiyyat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ